Today, we're covering the real cost of homeownership in Vancouver, and I'm going to begin this podcast by covering all of the expenses that you can expect when you're purchasing a home here so that you can budget for exactly what's coming up for you.
But also, more importantly, I'm going to get into the ongoing expenses of homeownership. A lot of these expenses are kind of sneaky. There's a whole bunch of taxes that you may not be aware of, and I want to make sure that nothing is a surprise to you, that you're able to budget for these ongoing expenses. You may also be surprised that some of these expenses are actually considerably lower than in other markets. So some things that you might be worrying about, you shouldn't be worrying about, and some things that you aren't worrying about, you probably should. Let's get into the real cost of home ownership in Vancouver right now. Sebastian Albrecht with the Living in Vancouver BC team, and welcome back to the channel. This channel is all about moving to and living in Vancouver. And this week, just like every week, is another really important topic. We're covering the real costs of home ownership in Vancouver, and we're going to begin right off the bat with purchasing a property and exactly what that's going to cost you. And as we all know, Vancouver's real estate is expensive. This is one of the most expensive real estate markets, not just in Canada, not just in North America, but in the entire world. And that's important to understand. And I'm sure if you're watching this podcast, you probably have that idea already. But I think what's most important for you to understand is that there are nuances to how expensive Vancouver is. There are parts of Vancouver and certain property types that are far more expensive, but there are opportunities to find better values throughout Metro Vancouver. After all, I bring this point up quite a bit, that the city of Vancouver is just one of 22 municipalities in all of Metro Vancouver. So when you move here, you don't necessarily need to move to the city of Vancouver, which is the most expensive real estate. You might find that what works better for you is living in Coquitlam or New Westminster or Richmond or Squamish. And not that Squamish is part of Metro Vancouver, but it's within the Lower Mainland and it's within sort of the range of Metro Vancouver. These are all areas that you might find more affordable real estate. And so getting into it now, I want to explore that idea. And I'm going to give you some prices, typical price points in different markets. So you have an understanding that, yeah, I can purchase in Vancouver, but I could also purchase in this much less expensive area and save a lot of money and it perhaps have a slightly different lifestyle, but I can still move to Vancouver and have the experience that I'm looking to have. So let's begin with houses. All of these numbers that I'm exploring, first of all, are coming from the summer of 2025. Obviously, prices shift and change, and these numbers could change by the time that you're actually watching this. I'm also going to not only give you the price point, but I'm going to give you a monthly mortgage payment. And that monthly mortgage payment is based on a 25-year amortization. It's based on a 4% interest rate, and it's a 5-year term. In all of Greater Vancouver, a house these days is just shy of $2 million. This is a typical house in Greater Vancouver. The exact number is $1,997,400. That works out to about $8,400 a month in terms of a monthly mortgage payment. Now, the most expensive market generally is the city of Vancouver. This is where we find houses more expensive. So you're going to find in the city of Vancouver, a typical house being $2,582,000 in the summer of 2025. That works out to a monthly mortgage payment of $10,865. You can head out to Surrey, where you could save about $1 million. And there it's 1.5 million. And your monthly mortgage payment is going to be just over $6,300 a month. Then you can go even further out to Mission, which is one of the most affordable suburbs of the city of Vancouver. The price for a detached house is just over $1 million. So a considerable savings. You're looking at, you know, $2.5 million in the city of Vancouver and just over $1 million in the city of Mission, where that would cost you $4,289, less than half of what you're going to be paying every month for a mortgage in Vancouver. So massive differences there when we're talking about detached houses. And of course, when you go on to townhouses, this is also true. In Greater Vancouver, you're looking at just over $1.1 million for a typical townhouse, working out to $4,658 a month for that townhouse. In the city of Vancouver, it's a more expensive market once again, more expensive than the Greater Vancouver average. And you're looking at just over $1.3 million in the city of Vancouver. That works out to just under $5,500 a month for a mortgage for a townhouse in Vancouver. But you could head out to Surrey, where you could save a considerable amount of money. And there, a typical townhouse is $826,500. That's going to cost you just shy of $3,500 a month for a mortgage. And then once again, you can find an even better value heading out to Mission, where it's going to cost you $676,000 to purchase a typical townhouse. And that as a monthly mortgage payment is going to be $2,845. For condos, the difference is great as well, but you're starting to see these numbers get a little bit closer as you're looking at smaller units and more more in these in the strata vein. So for a greater Vancouver, the typical condo these days is $757,300. That works out to $3,187 every month for that typical condo in greater Vancouver. For the city of Vancouver, of course, once again, it is more expensive, but not considerably more expensive. A typical condo in the city of Vancouver is $799,100. That would work out to about $3,363 a month for a mortgage. Going out to Surrey, you will save money once again, but it's a much smaller gap, obviously in terms of dollar amount, but also in percentage terms. There, it's going to be $554,000 to buy a typical condo in Surrey, which works out to $2,331. And once again, you can save even more money, about $100,000 by heading to Mission, where a typical condo is going to cost you $453,000. And that's $1,906 a month in terms of your monthly mortgage payment. So most importantly, I think here, what I want to drive home is that yes, you are going to be spending more money to live in the city of Vancouver. You're going to be spending more money specifically for the land. So the more amount of land that you own, the greater that difference. And that's why we see with detached houses, such a huge variation in prices from one municipality to another. And then of course, when the amount of land continues to shrink and you're looking at condos, that's why the gap is much smaller, because the amount of land involved is not as significant. And the cost of building is very much the same from one municipality to another. So the gap tends to shrink the smaller the unit that you're looking at. Now we know exactly what it's going to cost in different markets around Metro Vancouver to purchase a home, but are you able to actually buy one? And if you're a foreign buyer, unless you're here on a work visa, if you're not a Canadian and you're not a permanent resident, the Canadian government has decided that you're not allowed to purchase. There is a ban on foreign buyers unless you're here on a work visa. And if you are here on a work visa and you're looking to purchase in the Lower Mainland, in Metro Vancouver, you may still need to pay a significant tax. The only exemption to you, if you are a foreign buyer here on a work visa, the only exemption to you would be that if you are a part of the provincial nominee program. Now, I get into all the details of exactly how and when you can buy as a foreign buyer in this podcast right here that I think you definitely want to check out. But let's assume that you're able to purchase, that if you are a foreign buyer, you now know that you have to pay an additional 20% tax. But for those of you that are Canadian residents, there is a tax that you're going to be paying as well, and that's the property transfer tax. And that property transfer tax was instituted way back in the 80s. And way back then, it was 1% on the first $200,000 and 2% on the balance after that. It was sold as a tax on the wealthy because back then it was something in the neighborhood of more than 95% of properties were worth less than $200,000. So what do you have to worry about? Your property isn't worth more than $200,000. This is just a very basic 1% tax. However, they never pegged it to inflation. And so we are stuck paying that same tax in a market where there are no properties worth under $200,000. And in fact, in recent years, they increased that tax. So now we pay 1% on the first $200,000. We pay 2% from $200,000 up to $2 million. And then we pay 3% from $2 million to $3 million on the portion of value between that mark. And even more, if the property is worth more than $3 million, if you're paying more than $3 million for that property, the portion over that amount, you are paying a whopping 5%. And guess what? None of that is tagged to inflation. So today, you may not be worried about that 5%, but I personally would be worried 20, 30, 40 years from now. Our children, our grandchildren, they are going to be paying 5% much more commonly than we see in the market today. So those are taxes you really need to be aware of. And let me break down a little bit on exactly how much that equates to in different markets. So for that typical house in the city of Vancouver that's worth just over $2.5 million, that would work out to, for property transfer tax for a Canadian citizen, $55,460. And in the city of Surrey, that typical home of that's valued just over $1.5 million, that would be just over $28,000 in property transfer tax. And in Mission, where you're paying just over $1 million, that would be just over $18,000. Now, keep in mind, this is a one-time expense. This is not a monthly expense. I mean, goodness gracious, thank God for small miracles, but it is a very significant expense when you're purchasing property. No matter how expensive, there is a significant amount of tax that you're going to be paying. Now, that's not the only tax you might be paying. There is also GST. And under what circumstances are you going to have to pay GST? It is predominantly only when the property is initially purchased from a developer. So it's a standard response from realtors is this is only paid once, but that's not necessarily true. It is actually up to the CRA to determine whether or not GST should apply to that property. And so that is something you and your real estate agent need to discuss when you're purchasing a property. Is this a property where I may be at risk of having to pay GST? And that GST is pretty significant. It is 5% of the purchase price. And of course, if you're buying buying a $1 million property, well, you might be paying $50,000 of GST. And that might be something that you are wanting to avoid, understandably. Now, the government has just recently instituted a little bit of grace when it comes to GST, but only specifically for first-time home buyers. And so for now, home buyers in the summer of 2025 are exempt. First-time home buyers are exempt from paying GST on new construction up to $1 million, 100% exempt. But from $1 million to $1.5 million, you're going to be paying a reduced amount of that full GST. So at $1.1 million, you'd be paying 20% of the GST. At $1.4 million, you're going to be paying 80% of the GST. But that is something you want to be aware of when you're looking at new construction. And of course, that savings is something you want to be aware of when you're a first-time buyer looking at new construction. So the biggest closing costs you really need to be aware of are those taxes: the property transfer tax, the foreign buyer tax if you're not Canadian, and of course the GST. But there are some other expenses that you just want to be able to budget for, and they're not the only closing costs. So let me get into those. Number one would be if you're doing an inspection, and I would always recommend doing an inspection on a property, you have to pay for that inspection. And if you are looking at more than one property, you may be paying for more than one inspection. And that is something you should keep in mind. But those inspections can cost anywhere from $400 to about $700, $750, somewhere in that range. And I would budget for at least one of those, but certainly in your back pocket, maybe consider that you might be paying for up to three of those, depending on the market. Aside from that, you're also going to need to pay for conveyancing, and you're going to hire either a lawyer or a notary to do that conveyancing. The prices between notaries and lawyers are fairly similar. A lot of people that just want to save a little bit of money decide to work with a notary, but I personally would always recommend a lawyer. Lawyers tend to be able to get these deals done more smoothly. They can offer some legal advice that a notary cannot do. But if all you want to do is paperwork, then yes, a notary can do exactly what the lawyer is doing in those circumstances. And generally, you're going to find that the cost of the conveyancing is somewhere in the range of $1,500 to $2,000. And then the last major expense that you need to think about in the grand scheme of things, it's relatively minor. And this is really specifically if you're looking at moving into a strata, but many stratas charge a move-in fee. And this could be anywhere from about $100 to about $250. It's automatically charged. It's going to come off your statement of adjustments. It's not something that you have to have cash ready for, but it is an expense that is very common for moving into stratas and something that I would add into your closing costs. But as you can see, the biggest closing cost that you are most likely going to run into is the property transfer tax. I just want to jump in here real quick. And if you are thinking of moving to Vancouver and purchasing a home, to remind you that I am a real estate agent that has helped hundreds of families do exactly what you're looking to do. I can help you and your family as well. Whenever you're ready, be sure to reach out. There's three different ways you can reach me. One, you can call or text at 604-831-4837. You could email me at sebastian@albrechtgroup.ca, or you can book a conversation with me directly at calendly.com/albrechtgroup. Never any pressure whatsoever, but I think I can help you. All right, so I covered all the expenses involved in purchasing a property, but now we're going to start talking about the expenses involved in owning that property over a long period of time. And number one that we're going to discuss is home insurance. And that's something that can freak out a lot of people. It's an unexpected expense that, if especially if you're a first-time home buyer, you don't actually realize can be required. And a financial institution, when they give you a mortgage, they're going to insist you have to, as part of your mortgage agreement, have home insurance. And this can be a pretty substantial amount, especially on detached properties. And on detached properties, on a house, you might be paying $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 plus a year for home insurance. Now, it depends on a lot of the extras in the home insurance, how much coverage you have, but it also depends on how expensive the property is. But I can tell you my own home insurance on a fairly standard City of Vancouver house is about $3,500 a year. So I'm paying roughly $300 every single month for home insurance. And there's nothing really fancy in that home insurance other than coverage for an earthquake. And that earthquake insurance is a fairly substantial part of my home insurance. I think it cost me about $600 or $800, somewhere in that range. So it could be considerably less expensive if I didn't have that coverage for an earthquake. But of course, living in an earthquake zone, that's something that I personally feel is pretty darn important in my insurance. It's going to become a lot more expensive if you have really expensive hobbies with all sorts of paraphernalia, like an expensive bike, as an example, or expensive skis that you want to have covered very specifically, or if you have expensive artwork in your home. All of those things are going to add to the expense of your home insurance. And as I pointed out, there is a big difference between a detached house and owning in a strata, the cost of insurance. And that's because when you own in a strata, the strata is legislated to have insurance on the building. And so you're not paying for that that insurance directly. You have paid for that as part of your maintenance cost. And of course, because it's a large structure, because there's many units sharing that cost, sort of the monthly expense is shrunk in comparison to trying to insure a single family residential house. But when you're looking at strata insurance for you individually, whether it's a condo or a townhouse, what you're doing is you're insuring the contents of the property. And the other thing you want to be thinking of is you also want to insure the deductibles of the strata. So when you look at the insurance summary of the strata, you're going to see that flood damage or water damage, that's broken out and there are deductibles involved. And so if you cause a flood on the 12th floor of the building and it floods everything below, the strata's insurance will kick in. However, you have to pay the deductible. And that deductible might just be $25,000. That would be on the low end, but it could also be $250,000 if there have been a number of floods over the years or a flood just recently. And in that case, you absolutely want to make sure that you have a rider covering that deductible. That's incredibly important. And you also want to make sure that you've insured all of the improvements of the property. So if this is a 30-year-old condo and a flood occurs, and originally this place was, I don't know, laminate countertops and carpeted floors, that's what the insurance covers. It covers the original condition, the original installations, but perhaps you bought it as a completely renovated suite. And I don't know, everything's gold plated and there's hardwood floors and silk curtains or something like that. So, and you want to make sure you have that covered, because if there is a flood, you don't want to go back to having carpet and laminate counters. You want to get what you paid for and make sure that that is covered in your insurance. So paying for that strata insurance is very similar to essentially just tenants insurance, and it can be very cheap. It could just be $25, $30 a month, but depending on how many riders you have, how big your deductible is, you could see it go well over $100. And once again, this is something that you want to double check with an insurance agent before you purchase a property, just so that you can make sure that you have an understanding of what your monthly expense is going to be. Utilities are the next thing that you need to worry about. And this is a major concern in a lot of markets. I can think of Alberta as an example or Texas, but in British Columbia, the main thing that you need to be aware of is that this is a place where utilities are actually relatively inexpensive, and even in the city of Vancouver. So these are generally provincially regulated. There's quasi-crown corporations that are involved in the delivery of natural gas and electricity. And for the most part, other utilities like water or sewer are managed and delivered by the individual municipalities. We don't have private companies involved in the delivery of these things. And as a result, we pay relatively low rates. A lot of the heating that happens in older homes in Metro Vancouver is done through natural gas. We do live in an area that thankfully has some of the lowest natural gas expenses in all of North America. And the same thing is true for electricity. And so electricity is becoming more and more common for new construction. And it may be baseboard heaters in a newer condo as an example. It might be in-floor radiant heat. And what is becoming more and more common is a heat pump. And those are generally electric powered, but heat pumps are an option that are becoming much more common in new construction, whether that is single family residential or even in condo buildings. And so more and more we're moving actually away from natural gas, going to a cleaner resource in electricity. But whether it is natural gas or electricity, you're going to find that generally this is a place where those are not catastrophic expenses. And I can give you an idea from my own experience living in a house that is roughly 2,800 square feet. And there are 8 people that live in this house. There's 6 people in my own family. And then we have a suite with 2 people in it. And we pay roughly about $75 to $100 a month in electricity. And then we're paying, you know, depending on the time of year, in the middle of summer, it might be $40 a month for gas or whatever the lowest amount is, up to about $150, maybe $200 a month at the very coldest months of winter. And this is an older house. This isn't perfectly insulated, but that gives you an idea. And if you're in a brand new condo, the likelihood of you actually having to pay gas separately is very small. Usually that is included in your maintenance fee. Electricity is always going to be separately metered, and the cost of it could just be very small because you might have a gas fireplace, your stove may be gas, and then you might just need to pay for the electricity you use to light the place and for your computer and your TV. And that might just be $25 a month. I've seen it that low, but of course it really depends on you. And if you want extra baseboard heaters, and if you have an air conditioning unit and you have 3 giant screen TVs, well, maybe it gets up closer to $100. But the main point is this is one of the places where you're going to find utility costs are least expensive. And this isn't going to be a major concern when you're living in Vancouver as it is in other markets. Another major expense you need to be aware of are property taxes. And we are lucky enough to live in an area where property taxes are relatively low. Now, the property tax rates are low, and low on a North America basis. So for all of North America, we have some of the lowest property tax rates anywhere. However, However, the value of our properties are fairly high. So the total amount that you're paying in tax isn't necessarily a small amount, and it's definitely something that you want to be aware of. But if you'll recall, Metro Vancouver is made up of 22 different municipalities, and all of them have different expenses and different tax rates. So some of these areas you're going to find are higher expense than other areas. And that is something that you want to be aware of as you're looking around Metro Vancouver. And you might find, well, I might as well live on this side of the border and be in Coquitlam rather than in Port Coquitlam, because I don't want that particular property tax rate. And that's something that you need to be aware of as you look at properties around Metro Vancouver. And let me give you an example. So as we look in comparisons, that typical house in the city of Vancouver that is worth almost $2.6 million, that's going to cost you $640 a month in property taxes. Now, that's not an insignificant amount of money. The city of Vancouver has some of the lower property taxes in all of Metro Vancouver, which are some of the lowest in all of North America. However, the value of the land is so high that we end up paying a considerable amount of money. I mean, that works out to just over $7,000 a year. That's a lot of money. In the city of Surrey, where a typical house is going to cost $1.5 million, you're going to be paying a lot less. And that is going to work out to about $367 a month. And then you can go out to Mission, where prices are even lower at just over $1 million. Tax rates are similar between Surrey and the city of Vancouver, but they go up considerably in Mission. So you're going to save a lot on your purchase price, but you're going to be paying a bit more in your taxes. And so on a $1 million property, you're going to be paying about $330 a month, which isn't a lot less than what you're going to be paying in the city of Surrey. And let me give you another example in the city of New Westminster, which has a higher tax rate, but where prices are fairly similar to Surrey. I would say it's a bit more expensive to be in New Westminster, but not a lot. And so for $1.5 million assessed value in the city of New Westminster, you're going to be paying $510 a month. And that's $150 more than what you'd be paying in the city of Surrey. So I just want to give you that as sort of a brief introduction to the idea of property taxes in Metro Vancouver. The fact that there is a difference, and it could be a significant difference from one city to another. And you want to take this into account when you're looking at the areas that you're considering moving to. Way back about 15 years ago, I did some crazy things in my life. And one of those things was climbing the gross grind and setting the record for the most ascents in a single day. I did that 3 years in a row. And I didn't just do it for my own personal record. In fact, why I did it was to raise funds and awareness for some of the most vulnerable people on the downtown east side, some of the most vulnerable people in our society in general. And I'm continuing to do that today. No, I'm not doing such crazy feats anymore. I'm a little too old, but I am going to be trekking in Cambodia this fall. And I'm trying to raise more funds and more awareness for UGM's sanctuary program on the downtown east side. If you feel at all moved by this, I would really appreciate your support. I need to raise at least $6,000, and I'm a pretty big distance away from that. So I could really use your help. The link is going to be down below. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for considering it. And let's get back to the video. If you recall when I talked about the property transfer tax and the fact that they didn't tag it to inflation and they sold it as a tax only on the wealthy, well, there's another tax you need to be aware of. It may not impact you today, and more of us than not are not impacted by this tax, but it may impact all of us or many of us at some date in the future, depending on how the market goes. And that's the additional school tax. So as part of your property taxes, you are paying for schools, and that's how schools are funded. They're provincially regulated, they're provincially taxed. The provincial government decided to charge people that own properties that are assessed more than $3 million a substantially higher amount of school tax. And so the school tax for the city of Vancouver is below 0.1%. It's 0.089% on the value of properties up to $3 million. But now, above $3 million, you're going to be charged 0.2% in the value between $3 million and $4 million. And on the assessed value over $4 million, it's going to be a whopping 0.4%. That's quadruple the amount that properties valued under $3 million are paying. So that's a really substantial tax on people that are purchasing what we would say these days are luxury properties. My concern with that tax is because it's not tagged to inflation, the likelihood is over time, this is not just going to be a tax on the wealthy, it's going to be a tax on an increasing number of Vancouverites and people that live in Metro Vancouver. So let's talk about what could be one of the most expensive parts of owning a home, and that's home maintenance. And when I'm talking about home maintenance, I often compare owning a home to owning a car. You don't expect when you buy a car that there's no work you're ever going to do on that car. At the very least, it needs to have regular oil changes, and you need to put gas in the engine, obviously. But over time, you also need to take it to the mechanic. There's parts of a car that wear out as you use it. And I find it a bit odd that there's some people that believe when you buy a house, they're under the expectation that the home is always going to be perfect, that there's no expense that they're going to have to put into that home. And especially when people buy condos, that's kind of an expectation that a lot of people have. But the reality is, whether you own a condo, whether you own a townhouse, or whether you own a house, that every element of that structure is going to wear out over time. And eventually it's going to need to be replaced. And in the meantime, it should also be well maintained, so you can stretch out the lifespan of that property. So the thing is, when you own a house, you have much more control over how much that thing is going to cost, who you hire, and when you do the work. But more often than not, a lot of people just don't calculate that into the cost of ownership. And so when a roof needs to be replaced, they're not saving money every single month in order to pay for that roof replacement. And it can be a bit of a shock when the bill comes, and that might cost in Vancouver $25,000 to replace a roof. Or if there's a leak in the basement and your drain tile has to be replaced, and that might cost you $30,000. These expenses can be really significant, and they're going to be more significant on an older home that has had less work done. That's like buying an old car that has not had its engine replaced. If you buy an old car with its engine replaced, that's more like buying a new car. And so if you could be buying an old home that has had a whole bunch of work done and is essentially in this universe, basically one of those collector vehicles that everybody wants and that you're taking to car shows, right? And so that's the ideal. Of course, when you purchase a condo, there's much less control over how that maintenance goes. You're paying a monthly maintenance fee. Part of that amount is being put aside every month. Part of that amount is being put into sort of the regular maintenance of the building. There's somebody who's coming and maintaining, I don't know, the elevator, the roof. They're probably going to do regular painting on the building as well. But there's also, as I said, money that's being put aside into a savings account every single year. But the thing is, this works differently in our market than it does in other markets. And you should not be in the expectation that that amount of money that's being put aside will cover all of your expenses for maintenance. It most likely will not do that. There is most likely not enough money in the contingency reserve fund to pay for all the ongoing upkeep and the wear and tear that happens on the building. So when elevators have to be replaced, when a roof has to be replaced, more likely than not, they're going to be doing an assessment. There may be enough money to pay part of that from the contingency reserve fund, but more than likely, they're also going to come knocking on your door for more money. So you want to take into account all of those expenses. And whether you're living in a condo or whether you're living in a house, you should more than likely be putting some money aside for all of those future expenses and the regular wear and tear that happens on a property, because it's not going to last forever. And at some point, you will need to spend some money on your home, and you're going to want to spend some money on your home so that you maintain the investment that you've put into it. Funny enough, one of the biggest expenses involved in the ongoing expense of owning a home, both in time and in money, is something that most of us don't include in the calculation, and that is the cost of commuting. And I find it mind-blowing that more people aren't thinking about this. And so often I run into people that really regret not putting more time and effort into this calculation. So I want to remind you of it. That's why I'm putting it into this. But you're going to find, as I said, at the center of the city, at the center of Vancouver, is where things are most expensive. But that's also where it's going to cost you the least amount of time and effort and money to commute. As you move out into the suburbs, you're going to find that real estate becomes much more affordable. We went into that at the very beginning of this. How in Vancouver, you're spending $2.5 million in a house, and in Mission, you're spending just over $1 million. So that might be an equation that you're calculating, and that makes sense to move out to Mission. But it may no longer make sense once you calculate into commuting for you, your wife, your children, getting to school, the cost of going from one place to another. I was talking to a family not that long ago that wanted to purchase a place in Surrey, and they wanted their child to go to a private school in Vancouver. That child, who was, I believe, around 13 years old, would spend an hour in each direction on transit getting to and from school. And I pleaded with them, you know, to really reconsider that, because what kind of life is that kid going to have in order to spend that amount of time? Now, not everybody can make that decision, of course. Maybe you actually absolutely need a single family detached house in Mission. But the reality is, you could also buy a 2-bedroom condo in downtown Vancouver, and you may not have any commute. I know families, friends of my son, he's 9 years old, families of 5, 4, 3 that live in condos downtown very happily. Not everybody actually needs a house. That's the decision many people sort of come to, the realization, okay, no, I actually want to be downtown. I don't want to sacrifice my time. I don't want to pay that amount of money to commute in order to have a little more space. Conversely, there are people who make the other decision and realize, it is entirely worthwhile that I can own a piece of land that my kids can go out and play in the backyard and have a trampoline. And sure, I have to commute a little longer. I'm not going to be able to spend as much time with my children. And that's an answer that some people come to as well. And as a result, some people move to Mission and some people decide to live in downtown Vancouver. But I just want to make sure that you're at least considering the calculation. And there's a few websites that I'm going to suggest for you that can help you figure this out, especially if you're coming here from somewhere else. BCAA has an incredible calculator for calculating the cost of owning a car and commuting with a car. And then, of course, we can talk about the cost of transit. And that's a pretty easy one. I'm going to put up a link to TransLink. And from there, you know, the TransLink monthly fare can cost anywhere from $127 to $193, depending on where you are. Of course, there's also the West Coast Express that could cost anywhere from $225 to $375, depending on where you are. If you're commuting in from Mission, that's going to be $375. And you still might need a transit pass on top of that. Now, beyond the expense, I think it's really important to calculate the amount of time that it's going to take you. And there's a website for that as well. It's this commute time map, which I really love. You put in an address and it shows you how long it's going to take you to commute, depending on what mode of transit you want to use, whether it's a car, a bike, or transit. And those are really useful tools to help you decide whether it is worthwhile for you to live in a certain area or not. And what are the points that are really important for you? It might not just going to and from work. It may be your hobbies and wanting to spend time in the mountains and that type of thing. But whatever the case, you want to use these websites to help you decide. And if you want more help in helping you decide exactly where you and your family should settle, I am, of course, a real estate agent that has helped hundreds of families do exactly that. People move here from elsewhere and move within Metro Vancouver, not only finding the right neighborhood, but also finding the right home. And I can help you and your family do that whenever you're ready. Reach out anytime. There's three different ways you can reach me. One, you can call or text at 604-831-4837. You could email me at sebastian@albrechtgroup.ca, or you can book a conversation with me directly at calendly.com/albrechtgroup. And if you're not quite ready for that, I have well over 100 videos all about moving to and living in Vancouver. So it's a whole back catalog that you definitely have to explore. Thank you so much for watching. I appreciate you being here, and I will see you next week.